Welcome to Hashtime with Navguzi Chiwanuka. This is a place where we help you unravel social constructs, discuss self-development in line with mental health, emotional well-being, and everything in between that directly or indirectly affects us in the millennial world around us. If you're hearing my voice for the first time and are the kind of person who is not scared of being a better version of yourself, even if it requires you to contradict who you were 24 hours ago, consider this your virtual home. I'm your host, Navguzi Chiwanuka, and I cannot wait to engage with you in the various conversations. God knows how I am so much in love with season 5 because what? My goodness, I have always wanted to have this conversation. And when I say I have always wanted to have the conversation, I am talking about one of the many topics I outlined when I was starting out podcasting. 4 years have passed and I had not yet gotten this conversation. Of course, what I dreamed of before is a little bit different, but this is a start. And I cannot wait for you to hear from Ruby. And I'm choosing to call her Ruby because, okay, Rehoboth. The other one, I will not try. So I'm going to have this conversation. And in it, we are going to be talking about fact-checking, journalism, and mental health. You are going to love her story, her experience, and her wisdom. So join us.
Hi, Rehoboth.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you doing? Meanwhile, your name, sometimes I feel like I might be mispronouncing the name. I feel like there is an accent that you add when you're saying your name, and I'm like, she, I can't manage.
No, you're calling it right, actually.
Is it?
But yeah. I mean, I'm bad at pronouncing names, so.
And then for the one of Aya, I'm like, okay. Let me just leave it at that.
I know, right? It's Rehoboth. You're right.
Rehoboth. Yeah. You see that? You don't pronounce the T, I think.
We do Rehoboth. Like, it's actually, I mean, it's different in Amharic and it's different in the English version. But yeah, I usually use the Amharic version.
Amharic.
Yeah.
Does it have a specific meaning?
It's a Hebrew. It's from the Bible. It's a Hebrew name, actually.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a Hebrew name. It's actually not a person's name as well. It's a name of, I think, a well or a spring, something like that.
Wow.
I know. So, but the meaning is really beautiful.
Yeah.
It means the Lord make us fruitful, and the Lord make us make our land big, our people big, and also it also means like freedom. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
So introduce yourself to our listener.
Okay. As you heard, my name is Rehoboth. You can call me Robi in the short version. I am a media literacy and fact-checking consultant in Ethiopia. I'm from Ethiopia as well. Most of the time I work in media-related trainings and also digital literacy, digital security as well, and also safety in general, media literacy and digital literacy. Usually I give consultations, mentorships, and trainings for organizations or even individuals. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that would be enough to start.
Yes, it is. So before we go any further, I shared with you an emotional wheel.
Yes.
I know before we started the call, I asked you how you are, and I think it's very normal for us to just say, I'm okay. But let's visit. Let's have a visit to the different emotions that you might be experiencing right now. How are you, Robi?
I am, depending on the wheel, right?
Exactly.
I was going to say I'm fine, as usual. Okay. I'm a bit, I don't think I can explain it like anger. It's between anger and surprise, but I'm surprised that the light is off. right now.
Yeah.
Not in a good way. Not in a good way, because it's been happening for days.
Mm-hmm.
And also, yeah, angry at that. But other than that, I'm feeling joy. I'm feeling peaceful.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just got back from a meeting. So, yeah, I'm feeling peaceful. I'm feeling so calm.
Mm-hmm.
I can say that, but a bit angry at the light.
And you know, you've mentioned the bit where you are talking about how you feel joyful and, you know, those positive emotions. And I was just looking at your image, you're like, oh.
Oh, yeah. Right.
It just got me smiling instantly. So you've introduced yourself as a fact checker and someone who also goes into the digital literacy trainings. And I had seen you from the angle of a journalist when I met you.
I mean, it's not that different, because most of the time, especially for my work in trainings and consultation, I usually work with media houses, journalists, and all that. So it's more related with the media, but I'm not fully a journalist. Like, I'm more of a trainer in that aspect.
Mm-hmm. How did you get to that space?
Whew, that's a story to tell. So it all started during COVID, right?
Is it?
So, yeah.
That's very recent.
Very recent, I know.
Mm-hmm.
So initially I graduated in economics. My bachelor's degree is in economics. And after I graduated, I just joined an organization called CARE as an intern.
Mm-hmm.
It was in my field, more of project monitoring and evaluation and something like that. So I was doing that, but I'm more of a social science person. So I was not that much interested in the economics or the maths aspect. So then COVID came, and unfortunately, or fortunately, I can say, the project got canceled. So I didn't have a job for 6 months or so.
Mm-hmm.
Due to COVID. Then I was so desperate. I was telling my friends, I will do any job. I will do anything. Even I can even do waiter. I can even do be a waitress at this point. I hate sitting in my home and I hate not doing anything. So I'll do anything. So I was telling some friends and some former colleagues to help me out in finding some jobs during that time. And it was a time where fact checking was introduced to the Ethiopian landscape. So the Ethiopian media, then there was an open call for a fact checking organizations from a fact checking organization, and nobody applied because no one knows what fact checking is, including me. And since I was so desperate, someone recommended me, and I think I got in like that.
Because I actually wanted to ask you, did you know what fact checking was? Because I just learned these terms last year, I think.
Right? Yeah, me too. I didn't know. And the funny thing is, I was called for an interview. Mm-hmm. The next day. I applied today, as in today, and they told me at night, can you come tomorrow for an interview? And I said, okay. Then I forgot what I applied for.
Oh my goodness.
So it's fact checking, and I couldn't even refer to fact checking. So during the interview, my former boss, one of the interviewers, asked me, what's fact checking? Do you know about fact checking? And I was so brutally honest.
Oh, yeah.
I said, I don't know anything about fact-checking. Starting from its name, I think it's checking the fact.
Right.
But I don't know anything, but I'm open to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a very fast learner, so I'm open to learn and give what it takes. So they loved my energy and they loved my approach to that and they loved my honesty because they didn't expect me to know about fact-checking because it's new for everyone.
Yeah.
So yeah, I got in like that and starting from, it was in 2000, I think November 2021, at the end of November 2021. Yeah, November 2020, sorry. It was at the end of November 2020. And yeah, just like that.
But before
I became
then,
a fact checker.
Before then, what was your what were your interests? Let us look at Robbie, the baby Robbie, childlike, answering the question, what do you want to be when you grow up?
I mean, I wanted to be everything.
Everything.
Like every child, right? yeah, so at some point, of course, I wanted to be a doctor or something, a pilot or something like that. But I think when I started knowing myself and figuring out what I want and all that, like when I am in grade 10, I think, in high school, mm-hmm. We had to choose between natural science and social science. When you pass to like your senior school, like grade 11 and 12, you have to choose whether you want to follow the natural science, which is physics, chemistry and all that, in the medicine, biology or something like that, or you have to follow the social science. So we have to pick our future at that point. And during that time, like I was so sure I want to, one thing I was so sure about was that I want to help people, like in any way. So I want to work on people. I want to work with people, not like scientific stuff or theoretical stuff or policy or something. Policies are also working on people, but not in an indirect way. I want to work with people like directly. So I want a people's touch kind of stuff. So I wanted to study psychology or sociology at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So I chose the social science one. Then I finished high school in the social science aspect. So now when you go to the university, when you pass to university, the government will decide what you'll study.
Is it?
Yeah, kind of.
Like the government decides, is it because you're in their sponsorship?
No, of course you'll pay after you learn. It's kind of like a, what do we call? You'll pay after you finish learning. It's not, I'm not sponsored by the government, but I think it's just the system that once you choose between natural science and social science, for example, I'm in social science, so I will fill my interests. So at that time, I filled one of the fields I chose was social science, then law, mm-hmm. then business and economics, and like then journalism and art. I had only like 4 choices, but the choices doesn't matter. You'll feel your interest of university, your interest of field, but usually, most of the time, there is a slight chance that you may get your interest, but most of the time, they will just allocate students to wherever they want and to study whatever they want, whatever the government wants.
That's wild.
Yeah. So I got in business and economics and I studied economics. And actually, it was also my parents' interest for mm-hmm. me to study economics. Coincidentally, it happened. So I know.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. But I always wanted to work on people. I always wanted like to kind of like help people in a way that they can change their life, or I want to change people's life in whatever I do. Mm-hmm. So at that time, I found psychology to do that. But I also wanted to learn journalism. I also wanted to learn law.
Oh my God, that's a lot.
Yeah, but it all didn't happen. But yeah, for like after its own time, I became a fact checker. Then I joined the media circle. now I think I found my calling, or I found my purpose, I can say, because I believe that fact checking is actually helping people, mm-hmm. and also making or having impact on people's life and saving lives at the same time. So it finally happened for me.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah.
It definitely works. You see, when I was getting ready for the Zambia trip, I looked through all the topics that were supposed to, I don't know, do I say, get exposed to or experience?
Yeah.
And I saw journalism and mental health, and I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. I have wanted to have this conversation. But I've noticed that for the few people or journalists that I've tried to pull in to have the conversation with, they were a little bit avoidant. You know, we were still in a space where mental health is looked at as people are running mad. Even those that have a slight understanding of it and information is readily available for them, they do not want to be a part of conversations that are related to mental health. So let us explore, how do you get to this space of mental health? What drove your interest to mental health?
It's actually my personal experience during the time I was doing fact-checking. So I started fact-checking, unfortunately, I started fact-checking just the same time as a civil war broke out in Ethiopia. So most of the contents during that time, most of the online conversation we monitor, most of the issues that we fact-check was about the war or the conflict, about different human rights violations, about people dying and all that. So as I said, I was happy that I was able to kind of inform people, like I was able to kind of change people's life by telling them what's true and what's false. Like I was really invested in my job, or I can say in the work, in the fact-checking work. It was beyond the job for me at that time. So I was so attached to it. And I can say I worked 24/7, like Sunday to Sunday. And everyone knew that. And I was so attached to my work. And at some point, I started feeling some behavioral change in myself, some change in my relationships aspects with my family, friends, and my colleagues. So most of my life that I thought I knew was kind of new to me, right? So I started noticing some change after like 2 years of working in, almost 2 years of working in fact checking. So I even saw some change in my sleep. Also physically, I lost a lot of weight. And I thought I was like physically ill. So I went to a doctor, and I even consulted like 2-3 doctors at that time. Like, and when I get my laboratory results, there was nothing wrong with me. Like I'm physically okay, but I'm always tired. I can't sleep. I'm losing a lot of weight. I feel pain in some part of my body, and I can't tell where it is. So I had one colleague who's actually a medical doctor, but who joined our organization as a researcher, and he just noticed everything I say, and he told me, why don't you consult a psychologist or a psychiatrist? So as I said, I wanted to be a psychologist, so I'm open to any mental health issue, or I don't see it as a taboo or as something wrong. So
I'm sorry to cut you short. Before you were recommended to to consult with a psychologist. And then there is also your part of wanting to be a psychologist, which I feel like is kind of rare because we are not opened to these spaces. Now, when you're talking about it starting with your experience, yet we also see you as a younger Ruby having an interest in psychology. How, I think that's where I would want to understand, because we're in a space where mental health has a lot of stigma around it. And even last night, oh my goodness, we still have a long way to go. Last night I was with my cousin and then I showed him the most recent episode and he was like, this is a psychiatrist? I was like, yes. Where did he study from? And I taught him in Uganda. It's like, I think that's a con artist. I don't think those things are happening here in Uganda. And I was like, no, there is a school of psychiatry in Uganda. And he's like, no, but those things are only in movies. I was like, no, they're humans.
Yeah.
So that's where I feel like before you even get to that side of probably what revelations you might have found with a psychologist, where do you find this interest, this specific interest in psychology?
I actually don't know.
I mean,
there weren't a lot of psychologists around me.
Uh-huh.
And there, I mean, at that point when I was in high school, I don't even know any psychologists for that matter. But I've read some books. I was actually interested in psychology more of not for understanding people only or how people think only, but kind of helping them to cope with life and all that. I don't know where it came from, honestly. I'm even confused myself because, as I said, I just wanted to help people.
Even
I always used to say, even my mom used to tell me that I used to say, I will work with orphans, I will work with disabled people, I will help them, but I don't know how.
Mm-hmm.
So when I try to figure out how can I help people, like by studying something, of course there is medicine, there is I can be a doctor and help people. But I didn't find it to be more attaching with people, or I didn't find it to be more of my thing. So I don't know where it comes from, but I just say, like, I want to study psychology. I want to know how people think and how, especially I wanted to work with orphans and children. So mm-hmm. I want to mm-hmm. help them, like, to cope up with the world. So it just came up and I don't even know how, honestly. Yeah.
Okay, then fast forward. You have gone to a psychologist to consult with them.
Yeah, and before that, one mm-hmm. of the things I was also thinking I should, before my friend pointed out that maybe your physical pain might be related to like a psychological thing.
Mm-hmm.
I always felt like I should consult someone because, as I said, there are a lot of contents, horrific contents we see. And there was this time, there was this specific time that I decided I should see, I should consult a professional. There was a video of a person that's burning alive.
Oh, dear.
And I had to check that content. And usually when I see this kind of contents, I usually get like, I mean, I usually used to feel it. I mean, this is a person, like, I mean, there is some human moral in me, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at some point I lost that. And during that video, I watched the video 4 times. And like 4 or 3 times, I mean, repeatedly. And I didn't even know, like, feel that there is a person who's burned alive. I was just focusing on the speech they were talking about, they were speaking in, the language, the uniform or the clothes they wear, the area. I was all focused on checking the content, and I lost my humanity at that point. I always say, like, I felt like I lost my humanity at that point.
Yeah.
So when I realized that like, I think it's the first time or the third time, when I realized that I just broke. I was in the taxi heading home and I just broke. I couldn't control myself. Like, I felt it to the bones. And yeah, I decided that I have to check with a professional, or I have to talk to someone.
What could have broken you down? Was it like, what have I turned into?
Yeah, of course. I mean, this is a human. This could be me. This could be my brother or my family. Or this is a human. This is a person. And I'm all focused on it as if it's just a content, just a social media content, not one person's life, like not a person's life. So what's wrong with me? What have I become? Like all the questions, where is my humanity? Where am I helping people? Like all the things started coming up. And yeah, that's when I decided for myself, but I didn't go to anyone, or I just thought to myself I should see a professional, but I didn't went there.
Oh, you didn't?
Yeah, I mean, like I didn't have time for myself at that point. So I went back to work as usual, but I think it's after that I started feeling the physical pains and all that. Then my friend pointed out I should consult someone. Then I, mostly people, even though people want to go to any professional, most people don't know where they are found.
Right.
But there was this psychiatrical clinic on a main road, and I usually read the name.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Lebeza Clinic, and I usually notice it, but I know where it is and everything. So when I decide to go, so that's the only place I know of. So I went there and I spoke with the psychiatrist. The first session was more of an introduction.
Right.
So he was expecting to make me open up and to try and everything. But I was so open for the discussion. So I just, it was so easy for him and he was so amazed because, like, I mean, usually the first sessions, not only the first one, but the second and the third sessions are us as a professionals trying to make the people open up for us. But you're so open. How are you like this? And I told him, like, I came just by my own will. So
right.
I'm open for the idea that I need help. And also that there's something wrong with me. I know that there's something wrong with me. So we just got right into it. The second session, he didn't know what kind of job I work on. I told him that I'm attached and everything, but he told me that I need a break from my work, not knowing that what I work on. I didn't tell him I was a fact checker. But he told me, I think you need a work-life balance, he told me. And at that time, the response I gave him was like, no, you should find a better like idea, because I can't take a break from right now because there is a war, there is conflict, and if I am also the lead fact checker in my organization, so I like kind of lead the whole team, so I don't think I can take a break from work at that time. So I mean, eventually one thing to led to another, but he gave me an order, a strict order to take a break at least for a month.
Ooh, a month.
Yeah. And also I had to kind of have a healthy sleeping habit. So I had to balance it. I had to like have a good sleep during that time. But the funny thing, I didn't take that break. I lied to him.
I was actually going to ask you how that went because the time was tight.
Yeah, I mean, so I told my boss during that time and I told him, like, I went to a psychiatrist and I'm sick and I need a break.
Right.
And so my boss worked for an a bigger organization, an international bigger organization. And he told me, yeah, when we were working there, we had a therapist for ourselves. And so he has awareness about the impact of the work, but didn't get us the opportunity to have a therapist or to talk about it. Mm-hmm. Okay, in that case, I went to a therapist by myself. So, and they ordered me a leave. But I told him, like, I know we can't afford to have a leave at this time. So let me just come to work twice a week and I'll take a break the other days. And we agreed. Then after 15 days of my break, when I went back for the 2 days work, my boss called me to his office and said, like, you know what? I think you're faking this all. He told me that even the psychiatrist is fake, even the sick leave paper I showed him or I gave him was fake, and even I myself is faking it.
Really?
Yeah. And that guy, that person actually was saying that he had a therapist earlier in his career because the content he was seeing was horrific. He believed that we can be affected, but I am faking it.
What?
Yeah.
You know, I was just about to ask you how helpful it can be when your boss understands the impact of your work on your mental health. And then now we have swung back to zero. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it's his personal. I'm not sure at that point, because at first he was saying that, yeah, it's actually bad for your mental health and everything. Take your break. And 15 days later, he said, I think you're faking it.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So I resigned that day.
That day?
From my job. That day. Oh. I mean, that night. I had to finish my work during the day. So
oh my goodness.
I resigned that night.
Mm-hmm.
From the job I love, like, the most, I can say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I resigned. So I started advocating for this kind of mental health issue for fact checkers. Not only fact checkers. I mean, in Ethiopia, there are only like 10 fact checkers or something. Not even 10. I think now we are like 6 or 7 fact checkers in general.
Oh, yeah? So, that's in Ethiopia?
Yeah, in Ethiopia. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We are like a very few numbered, but most journalists actually relate to us, or most of the journalists' work also relate to us, because they have to report on human rights violations, they have to report on the war, they have to report on different horrific contents. So I think I thought at that time, not only fact checkers, but journalists also are affected by these issues.
Mm-hmm.
So I started advocating in every panel discussion or in every event I got invited to, or in every event I'm a speaker at. I started mentioning the mental health aspect of fact-checking and journalism. So most policymakers, most organizations, media, development organizations started noticing it, like, oh, that's the case. Okay, we understand now and everything. So, I mean, I don't know if there is any change in their policy or in their funding or anything, but as much as I can, I started advocating about mental health issues that most journalists and fact checkers usually face. And also when I speak to different colleagues and also journalists, most of them feels the impact of most of them feel impacted by the contents they see in their work mentally. So I think that pointed out that it's an issue that needs to be addressed. And I started advocating on that, starting from there. And I started looking at different materials, trainings, taking trainings and everything. So, yeah, that's how it all went.
Yeah. First of all, congratulations for standing up for yourself.
Oh, thank you.
Because it's not an easy decision to make for many of us. But now I'm looking at your story as something that I can easily drive towards the importance the importance of self-awareness and self-assessment in someone's ability to find help. Because we are looking at you assessing yourself and asking yourself, oh my God, what have I turned into? And then you also notice I'm different from whom I'm supposed to be. And then also coming to the space of acknowledging the fact that I need help. Something is wrong. That is something that is very hard for us to agree to or even accept. Like, no, I'm okay. I'll get through it. We find it embarrassing to ask for help. So huge applause, huge applause.
Thank you. I mean, actually, my parents are also, I mean, open about it. Mm-hmm. Not in a way that, like, they are really, really open. But, I mean, whenever there is some problem, they usually suggest, why don't you talk to a psychologist? Not for me, but for other people.
Yeah.
But when I told my mom that I went to a psychiatrist today, she almost broke. Like, she was like, what happened for you? What happened to you? Or something like that. She was so like frightened or afraid for me.
Yeah.
In a way that seeing a psychologist is like going insane or something like that. But usually she was the one who recommends others to see a psychologist. But when it comes to me, she was like, what's wrong with you? What happened to you? And everything. But I think my circle and my family is kind of not as strict or not like conservative about it. So I think that helped as well. My environment helped as well.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that point.
Of course.
What does self-care look like to you? Or how did it change when you came to a realization of the impact of your work on your mental health and how you realized that, oh my goodness, something can actually affect me and throw me off the course of my goals?
Yeah. Well, I think it all starts with self-reflection and like knowing yourself, I think, because I think the moment that helped me is the moment that I realized there is something wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I didn't realize that and if I just continued with the burnouts, the trauma and everything, it would have been worse and it would have been really hard to come back from. So I think just checking on yourself and checking on your wellness is the first step. Then I actually, the day after I resigned,
mm-hmm.
exactly the day after I resigned. So I resigned on Thursday night and on Friday I booked a weekend getaway trip.
So
I went to some place other than my city. I went to on a hiking and I just took the break I needed for the weekend. Then I started going on hikings on the weekends. I started hanging out with friends that I stopped seeing due to my job.
Right.
So I started reconnecting. I started giving time for my family. And spirituality also helps because at that time, for example, I'm a Christian. So during the time that I was so invested in my job, I didn't go to church or something like that. So I started going to church. I started my spiritual journey as well. So it all helped in different ways. I mean, I even spending time with my family helped just to open up, to talk to people, to just have fun and everything. So I think self-care starts with listening to our body, listening to our soul, listening to ourselves in general, then taking time for ourselves as well.
Right.
Like real time, not only just to have coffee or something like that, but like taking the weekend or taking one day, 1 week, it depends. And I actually still do that. I mean, I'm not as invested on one thing only at this time, but whenever I need a break, I just take that. I just go out of the city, or I just go to the lake, or something. Like, I just take the break as much as possible. I go to swimming. I could go to the gym or something. So, but doing something different than the usual thing is also self-care at the same time.
Breaking away from routine.
Yeah. Changing your environment, changing your surrounding for some time. And I really, really recommend, however, how much you love your job or how much you love your work, you just need a work-life balance. I mean, you have to know that there is a line between like working and even surviving for yourself. So you have to know that there is a line. So you have to take a break. I mean, you have to have friends outside of your work circle. You have to have people who you can vent to or talk to. You have to have people who can guide you in another way. You have to have different surrounding and different environment. You have to change the I mean, one of the things that my therapist told me, that for example, most of the time when I come back from home, I usually am tired, so I go straight to my bed, but I'm still working in my bed. My bed becomes my work environment as well. So even if I want to rest, it's my work environment. So I think about my work, I just do it in my bed. And so you have to have that line between, this is a workspace and this is like my personal space. This is a work time, this is my personal time. This is a work friend and this is my personal life friend or my personal circle. So having that line is also a really, really big time self-care as well,
You've brought out that part, and I've remembered taking a Reuters, I think, digital something, must have been digital journalism or something. There is a short course that they created last year. Was it last year or the other year? And I took it, and they had that segment of mental health where they asked people to their trainees, I would say, where they asked their trainees to draw a line between where you work from and where you do not work from. And they give the example of the bedroom. And I was like, because where I sleep, I usually work from there, do edits, the podcast edits from there, the computer is always open. And I'm like, oh my God, I had no awareness that I was invading my space. I'm still doing that.
I mean, I'm just telling you as a tip. But for example, yesterday night, I was reading on my phone. My laptop is opened on the on my bed. I was sleeping actually, and my laptop was opened beside me on the bed. My tablet was opened beside me, and I'm reading on my phone, and I'm still in bed.
Oh my goodness.
There are times that I usually realize that, and like, oh, I have to change it, and I go right back to it. But I mean, it's a process. It doesn't happen in just one day or something like that. But I think you just have to cope up with it, and you just have to be aware about yourself or like your surrounding, your habits and everything. So that you know when to stop and when you have to break that habit. But I mean, I understand a lot of people still do that, but it might work for some of them. I'm not saying that working in your bed is bad, but like making it a habit and making it an everyday thing is, is bad.
Yeah, I also feel like it's very hard for us to rest with these digital devices. They're always pinging every time. And we're also addicted to the dopamine that they come with. You're like, ooh, so what's happening? And you just keep scrolling and scrolling. So in your work of advocacy for mental health and journalism, I would say, because what you're doing is in a way in the space of journalism as well. Do you feel like the environment of these fact checkers and journalists is embracing of what you're trying to advocate for?
No, as you know, it's like most people are not even open about it. It's the system is in general messed up. Because it's still seen as a stigma, it's a taboo, or that whenever you talk about mental health or your challenge, you're seen as a weak person or something like that. It's everywhere, especially for men than women. So, I mean, I talk about mental health in some places. I mean, they're open to listen about it. They're open to agree on what I say. But there is no change in their policy or in the workplace or something. Most of the time, I think it should start from the managerial level, because unless they are changed, whether you train the journalist, whether you talk to the journalist, if the system doesn't change, it will not be sustainable. So, I mean, even the start of conversation is a good start. Even starting to talk about it, even knowing that there is a mental health aspect of every job or every work that should be considered is a start. But the change and also like addressing that challenge is also another thing that we expect, I personally expect. But right now, I'm just trying to initiate the conversation. I'm just trying to let people know that it's okay to talk about it. It's okay to feel what we're feeling. It's okay even to seek some good environment for ourselves and for our job as well. So just starting from the conversation is a good start, I think. But there is a big issue of addressing that challenge.
Right. I hope that in the near future, people are embracing of their mental health.
Yeah.
So that I mean, it becomes easier for us to function in our workspaces.
Yeah, I hope so too. I mean, I hope every manager or every owner of a business, a media, every workspace have that aspect of mental health in their policies and in their workflow as well. So that everyone's mental health will be considered in that aspect. And that's the long-term hope, I guess.
It all depends on us continuing to advocate for this.
Yeah, of course.
What message would you love to leave the listener? What would you wish for them to walk away with?
Know yourself. Start with yourself. It's okay to feel what you're feeling. Just listen to your body, your soul, yourself in general. And seeking help whenever you need it is so normal. And you don't have to be afraid to talk about your mental health or any challenge you're facing. You just need the right person in the right environment. Mm-hmm. And you can create that as well. You can create it by being that environment yourself. You can create it by starting the conversation yourself. And people will come to you and change starts with yourself. So start reflecting on what you're feeling and you can go from there.
Right. Thank you so much, Robbie.
Thank you. It was a great opportunity. I mean, I needed to talk about it in any platform I get, and it was a great platform, and I really loved our conversation as well. I hope people love it as well. Yeah.
Thank you so much. I'm sure they will. You have shared such brilliant nuggets.
Thank you so much.
So if you have to look back, has electricity come back? Or are you still struggling?
No. I'm still in the dark.
I'm so sorry about that. Well, thank you so much for your time that you have given us, especially on this podcast. It means a lot in our effort to raise awareness on mental health and normalize these conversations. So I hope and pray that whatever you have shared, someone has walked away with something to help them carry through with life.
Yeah, I hope so too.
Great. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you so much. You too. It was lovely talking to you, and light has come.
Oh, I need
just like that.
You said you're a Christian. Please send tithe, because I just talked about the light. When are you sending your tithe?
I know.
When are you sending your tithe? I just created a miracle.
As soon as possible. As soon as possible.
All right, Robbie, have a great afternoon. Goodbye.
You too. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for sitting in with us to the very end. Please, 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 if you loved this episode, Jesus Christ, if you are Ethiopian and you have just landed on this episode for the very first time, please help me hit the subscribe button and let us grow the Ethiopian HTNK community. Right? And if you loved this episode from any other country, again, subscribe to the podcast. Let us grow the podcast so that we can make HTNK a continental podcast. Let it be the platform for the African millennial. Hit the subscribe button in any podcast platform of your choice. To those who are on Spotify especially, please hit the follow button, Apple Podcasts. Oh yes, we have YouTube as well. There is a whole list for the podcast that you can, I think it's called a playlist, that you can always catch the podcast from. It is in audio format, of course. And there are just a few shots in videos that where you can see my face in case you want to see what I look like and you have never seen me. You can always check out our social media and see just a few pictures and some videos. So yep. And if you have anything that resonated with you in the conversation, please share it with us. We are ready to read from you. Share on social media, tag us. We are at #WithNabuzichwanka on Facebook and Instagram, and on X, our handle is at HTNK Podcasts. I really look forward to hearing from you. Do have a good day.